Amy, I have one question for you, and I'm going to leave after this. Do you think I'm going to hell?
I like demanded, pleaded, called God on promises and was like, you have to show up or like I am done. And he did. And he did.
That's something to really think about. What does it mean that the God of the universe loves me?
Are we saying that our God is bigger than their God or what?
Man, you got my mind going crazy right now.
I just think that that is evangelical bullshit.
And I don't fit in their box anymore. So feeling rejected from the church makes me feel far away from God.
If I'm living out the love of God, love of the divine, then in some ways we're unoffendable.
It's wrong to marginalize anybody for any reason.
Sometimes we can just have some things about our perspective that's off until we encounter someone who can challenge our thoughts, have conversations with us, and we just continue to grow and evolve.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I like that.
That sounded like womp, 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 womp to Rob.
I'm a hardcore gospel lover. I do love the gospel. I just think we get it wrong.
Girl, I was so highly medicated, I don't even know if you... Oh, God, my people.
Oh, I love what we have here on PWNA. I mean, Christians who do not believe in hell, Christians who do, atheists who doesn't even believe in God, and the relational credibility where we're close enough in which one of us can ask another, do you think I'm going to hell? And there's a comfort level relationally, regardless of what that person's answer is. Hain in this episode puts it well. He says that we are not like-minded as a group of hosts, but we are all like-hearted. I could describe how we're like-hearted in numerous ways, but I'll just scratch the surface. None of us thinks we're right about everything. All of us respects one another's opinions and beliefs, and each of us are doing the best we can to love our neighbors and our enemies. I love hearing from our listeners and how much these conversations mean to you all. Shout out to Kelly Dick, a friend of mine who wrote me recently. Shout out to my old childhood neighbor, Chad Mason, who I saw over Thanksgiving break, who listens in. So this conversation is an example of what goes on the B-Sides, which is basically a private podcast feed with extra content. What you're going to hear on this episode has already aired on B-Sides and is a conversation that wasn't meant to be recorded, but no one stopped the recording after we did an episode, and I'm glad about that. Link is in the show notes for the B-Sides if you want to check it out. Now, before we move on to the Amy, do you think I'm going to hell conversation, I'll share another little monologue I put on the B-Sides, kind of letting my pastor side out on this feed as well. This one specifically for parents out there, especially you new ones, because I'm on the other side of parenting and I have some things that I want to share. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. And if you're in the Midwest, hope you enjoyed the mashed potatoes and gravy alongside the turkey and dressing. And if you're from the dirty South like me, hope you enjoyed the hash brown, sweet potato, green bean casseroles. And yes, I could have gone on a list of 12 more casseroles and washed it all down with sweet tea. Love you guys. Enjoy. Excuse me. ESPN says, excuse me, also. It's crazy the perspective shifts from childhood to adulthood. It's blowing my mind, actually. Like, 7 years was an eternity back when I was a kid. Hell, that's first to eighth grade. Now I have 7 years left before Waylon, my youngest, graduates from high school and we're empty nesters. And 7 years ago was 2016. That doesn't sound long ago at all. I can actually feel the bizarre nature of the moment our last kid leaves and looking at Priscilla like, what in the hell was that all about and how did it go by so fast? I mean, seriously, I can't wrap my mind around it. But what's a bit comforting for me, all of my friends are experiencing the same thing. We all have to deal with this. We're all dealing with it. Not all of us necessarily with kids as the context, but all of us are speeding through this life as, quote, mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes, end quote. James, I believe, who's the brother of Jesus. So from a spiritual perspective, that's why for me, turning our eyes upon Jesus, looking full in his wonder and grace will make the things of this world grow strangely dim because it's this brevity of life. I used to hear it as dumb church jargon. We're just passing through. We're just passing through. But we truly are. Now, the next stage may be complete lifelessness in a box or ashes spread somewhere. Neat, I reckon. But my belief is that the best is yet to come and that there will be a day in which I think we'll literally be like, I can't believe I used to have that sort of existence. Remember those first 80 years? Man, that was hard. But man, it went by fast. So back to parenting. Oftentimes, us parents, we beat ourselves up, always questioning whether or not we can be better parents. And the answer, of course, yes, we can. But this concept in our head of parent perfection, we'll never attain. And if we could, what good would it do for our kids anyway? Cool. We provided a perfect environment for them the first 18 years of life, only for them to find out the rest of their lives that the world is often cruel and painful. You know what I mean? When I was in the mental institution, I did this group activity in which grown-ass men and women like myself pulled a piece of paper from a container, read an I statement, and then filled in the blank with whatever came to us. A dude probably a good 10 years older than me pulled a piece of paper, and the statement was, one thing in my life I wish, fill in the blank. And he filled in the blank and said, I wish I would have never tried drugs. I tried them, and next thing I know, I have grandkids from kids I don't even know. I actually went up to him. I was obviously broken as well, but I gave that guy a hug afterwards and just, I could feel his emotion, and I asked him, can I just give you a hug? Now, that's some heavy regret to deal with, and although I do believe there is peace to be found even by him, my gosh, that's a tough one to navigate, that kind of regret. So if you're working your ass off with your kids, you may yell when you don't want to, be selfish sometimes when you don't want to. All of these are because you are a human. But don't you dare overlook one simple fact. You're there. You're in your kids' lives. You haven't gone anywhere. And unfortunately, statistically for dudes, that's something to not scoff at, given the number of dads who walk out. Do not for a second forget what the gift of your presence is. And also remember this, if you struggle with those types of thoughts of, I wish I was better, that's likely evidence that not only are you there for your kids, but your ass cares deeply. Daggum. That's a gift to your children. And I'm out.
Amy, I have one question for you, and I'm going to leave after this. Do you think I'm going to hell?
I mean, I don't think that. I get really nervous when people ask me that because I don't know.
I know.
Mostly not because I'm afraid to say yes or no to someone, except for the fact that, like, I don't know your heart. You know what I mean? I don't know what's underneath and all that. Like, if you do, in your heart of hearts, if you do, like, deny God, I do think that you will go to hell. And that does worry me because I really care about you.
I feel you. You should work really hard to get
saved.
Well,
I pray about it because I think the only one who can save you is the Holy Spirit. You know, I mean, I don't think I can save you, and I don't think it's my job to. I think it's my job to, like, pray for you and love you and let God do reveal himself to you in a way that is meaningful to you.
I'll be honest, Annie. I was hoping for, like, a dumbass answer I could just dunk on, but no, you had to be all thoughtful.
No, I have a hard time because, I mean, there are times in my own life where, like, I wake up in the middle of the night, like, you know, we live in front of train tracks or whatever. And, like, if the train is coming by really late at night and it's really, really loud, or, like, planes going by really loud, or, like, really loud noises or, like, rumblings and stuff, like, I will be consumed with, this is the rapture, and what if I'm not taken? Like, I will start to really be fearful about it.
That's not good.
That's what reminds me, because part of that is, like, anxiety.
That's trauma.
But part of that reminds me that that's the enemy trying to make me fearful and question what I know is true. And then I always take it back to the fact that, like, I know God talks to me and I know that we're in a relationship. And so to wake up in the middle of the night or to hear something loud and to be fearful, that is not of God.
you said that Matt worries you. I'd be a I'm not saying in any way, as just that was just your choice of words. I know, really burdened, but that would obliterate me to think Matt's going to burn in hell forever. And I'm not saying
good
because it would obliterate
it should.
Me. I don't believe in it for that reason. I don't believe in it because I don't believe in it, but man.
But you were there at one time, weren't you?
Yes. Jeff? And I lived in trauma.
Yeah.
Like my therapist helped me see, you know, cause I don't personally, I think maybe trauma is just thrown around a little too leisurely. And so for me, I was like, I don't know. She was like, yes, Joey, you were traumatized. I mean, Stoy, we're in high school and you're having fun macking on girls, hanging out with the fellas, the lunch bell rings to go to class. I'm repenting in my heart for not witnessing. Like, that's the sort of traumatic burden yoke that I lived in.
I think you're presenting as either though it's either or though, and it's not. Like, Jesus doesn't want you to live like that. He doesn't want you to live in a burden state. He wants you to live in a state where you can trust him with the people that you love, that you can say, Lord, like, I lift Matt before you, and in full confidence, I trust that your will is for all to be saved, and I'm lifting him before you for you to do that work.
What I want to say is, like, I think we have a view that what we think is right and good is the way to be. Like, Matt's good may be something different. His path is something different. So if you see it as bad and Matt see it as good, honestly, in his heart, then maybe he's seeing a world that you're not seeing. You know what I mean? So,
sorry, I don't think she's trying to say Matt is bad.
No, I know she's not saying that, because she wouldn't really say that about anybody.
I don't want you to think
I'm saying that we get in this box where we think what we think is right, or how we view things and how we learn things, and it doesn't apply to everybody. And I think when you get to that place, then you're living free and you're able to not be in terrified Joey or that's just my opinion. And I have to say that even me saying what I'm saying don't make me right either. I just know that it gives me a whole lot of comfort being in the company of any type of person, any type of character, any type of personality, because I'm not judging them. I'm not judging them because I don't know if my judgment is right. So I have to live understanding that that person may have encountered or experienced something that I've never experienced. So he's in a place or a mindset that I haven't gotten to yet. Or he's, you know, in between some type of transformation. I just don't know. So the unknown part of it, when you really think about it, you should just learn from it. And because it's there, he crossed your path for a reason.
I learned from Amy a lot. We've sat and talked a good bit. The reason I asked that real quick is because Joey brought up Amy believing in hell, which I don't even really think about what Amy believes all the time. It's not like that. I just, I remember, it made me remember what I felt like whenever I thought about my friends going to hell and how traumatic it was for me. And then Joey kind of expounded on it more and reaffirmed, you know, that was a major trauma for me. And when I asked that, I guess I was just trying to explore that from a person who still believes it. And I guess explore whether or not that is a traumatic thing. I don't know.
It may be
outside
I'm
of that, but that's
because it
I wasn't
traumatic.
Trying to like dig a hole.
You know what I mean? No, I wasn't even going at Amy though. Yeah. I was just speaking in general. Like I was.
Yeah.
But
I wasn't directing it at Amy. What's up?
My question for you is: how do you not fall into moral relativism where we can't even say that Hitler did nothing? Because it sounded like you said, you know, Matt may be saying something's good, Amy says bad. Wouldn't there be things that collectively we would just say, hey, that's just bad?
Yeah, I mean, we could agree on things because we think similar in certain areas. But Hitler had followers. So there is some people that think what he was doing was good.
Yeah.
So we can go down that road all day.
That's a good point.
If you don't find the balance there, then you can go down whatever you think and then get the people that think like you to follow you down that road. I want people that don't think like me to follow me down my road, and then I'll follow them so I can learn. I can continue to learn and evolve instead of like mind all of that and they agree with everything I'm saying and we go down this path. And so ain't nobody learning anything.
But I think that we can talk to people that are not like-minded. Like there's plenty of people I think on this podcast, including like what you're saying now, where we're not necessarily like-minded as far as our faith is concerned. And I can talk to you and you can talk to me, but part of the tenets of my faith are like, there are absolutes. Like Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. That's it. Like it is only through him that we have salvation. And I mean, there are definite things that like, that's the tenet of our faith. The same way that, you know, a Buddhist has tenets of their faith, a Jehovah's Witness has, you know, there's lots of different faiths, but what makes mine different is that, you know, I do think it's right.
Well, I mean, we do have absolutes for what we think.
I think everybody.
Yeah. Right, but I'm saying, like, for me, what's different for me versus the Buddhist or the Jehovah? Like, I think mine is right. You know what I mean?
But even your content, but your context, you said no one can come to the Father except through me. So you're assuming that means heaven. It may not mean heaven. Does that make sense?
Well, I just think it means salvation.
Damn, blew my mind.
What's that?
I mean, I think it just means salvation, a relationship.
But you're assuming that it means salvation. In terms of
based
on
the
context, when you die and you go to heaven.
Well, based in the context of the entire Bible, yeah.
But can you come to the Father right now?
Yeah, through Christ because of what he did on the cross.
Right, but when you use that verse, you're using that verse in a way that was about salvation, that you cannot come to the Father except through me. But I don't think Jesus is talking about heaven there.
I think
he's talking
absolutely talking about salvation is only through him. I don't think through Buddha or through any other means we.
But salvation is now. He says that all the time. So my question then is salvation just going to heaven, or can there be salvation right now?
I think it's both altogether. Sure. I mean, we're created.
I like how you think, Cain. I like how you think.
Like, I mean, we're set apart to do good works now. Like there's things that we're meant to be doing now. You know, we're supposed to have life and have it to the full now. And I mean, it's the process of sanctification where once we're with him face to face, then all of that comes to fruition.
Right. I think in the conservative culture that I grew up in, salvation was primarily thought of as after. It's salvation is after.
I think it's immediate.
It's what happens after we die.
I think it's immediate. I think it's as soon as we receive him.
I think it's continual.
Right. And I would also, I think it is continual. I'm with you on that, Matt. And I think the salvation is now in the same way that I think people go to hell right now. But I don't think it's hell.
I mean, if I believed any of this
I don't
bullshit.
Think that it's hell necessarily
I don't
as a place.
I don't believe it.
But I know multiple people who have gone through severe traumas and they literally, I mean, they have gone to hell. They're still alive, but they're truly in henna. And is it not henna? What's the word?
Gehenna. I feel like I walked through my hell for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, that was as worse as it could get for me. I mean, I was ready to check out. I thought that was the best. I mean, that was my hell. The passage that I see so differently is the wide path that leads to destruction and then the narrow path that only a few find. Do you know how many people of faith, of all faiths, are on that wide path leading to destruction? I mean, do you not see the many Christian pastors that are doing the most horrible? It's crazy that we see that as people that have accepted Christ and people that have not accepted Christ. I see that passage paying like the here and now.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
There are so many people, including all of us at points in our lives, maybe some of us now, we've all been on wide paths that leads to destruction. And bottom line is, I mean, you see how warped and jacked up humanity is, and we're all a part of it. It is very uncommon to find yourself on a narrow path that is just constant health, constant positive. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's not common. I'm constantly aiming for that, but I don't think I'm always on that path.
I don't think you can be in this world.
Yeah.
See, I just think different, you know. I feel like God is in everybody. I feel like he's a part of everybody. So you just have to have that patience, or you want to spend that time to see how God is inside that person. Some people just put up their hard side outside because they're covering something inside. So if the way I think it allows me to have a lot more patience with people, and then I get to experience the God in them instead of running at first sight of rah, you know, that don't scare me. And when somebody is, when their outside shell is saying rah, and I'm standing there like, okay, miss me with that. Let's talk, or something like that, that gets past all of that. Then you start seeing the God in people. And to me, I think we all walk in our own light, and we shine. We can shine in the area that wants to see our light. Some people have more areas that want to see it. Some people have less areas that want to see their light. But when you find that light in every person that you encounter, it's just a beautiful thing. You have different type of interaction. So my mind, I don't go to, oh, this person is a bad person, or this person, you do bad things. I can't look at my life, look at my history, and say I never did something bad. So
I don't look at a single soul, though, and judge good or bad. And if you knew all of my history, you'd know I have zero room to. If you take the list of the top 10 things.
Things, we're saying the same thing then.
I'm saying that I still think, like, it's not that I think good or bad, but it's, I look at it like, not good. I don't think God is in everyone.
How could it not? How did that person get on this earth? How you think they came from they just came out from a bad seed of dirt? Or God put everybody here. So we he's in all of us. He's in all of us. Like you can't think somebody is just here because the devil made them or some evil spirit made them.
I think we're all made in his image, but I don't think that all people are living for him. And I don't think there's people who even have a desire to give him any kind of opportunity in their own lives.
Yeah, because they may be living for something different in their mind. But I mean, if you think we're all made in his image, how could he not be in somebody you think is not living for him? How could that be possible?
Well, I mean, think about people, you know, not picking on Matt or anything, but I mean, like, Matt, like, if you have no desire, like, if you don't think God is real, what glory do you want to give him?
At one point, didn't Matt think God was real?
But he doesn't now.
But coming from your context, Amy, would you say that when Matt is challenging,
I sure didn't mean to start a
the
debate.
Racism in his town, when he's challenging these statues and he's gathering people, mobilizing people, wouldn't you say that that's the work of God through Matt in his community?
No.
You wouldn't say that.
No.
He's doing something good.
I don't think
he's doing something to make the community better. Why does it have to have a Jesus stamp on it?
Yeah, why does it? It does.
It doesn't. That's my point.
I don't think
so. Whether or not Matt believes in God or not, if he's doing good work in his community, then that's redemptive. And if it's redemptive, that's of God.
I just don't agree. I think there's people who you can look at people who are good, you know, like I've never cursed and never drank and never did that. And if it isn't based in him, it's like a clinging bong, zong, gong, whatever. Bong, hit that.
We would definitely disagree that. Disagree on that, because I believe if anything good is happening, it's of God. It's of the divine.
I don't
anything
think so.
Redemptive
I think
that's good.
I think that's how
you're making God
that
really small.
Anything evil
like
as well.
When you said it has to have Jesus' name on it, it has to have God's name.
I don't think
you're
it has to have his name
that's
on that. It. But I think that we are very easily tricked by things that look good. Well, and just because something is good, it doesn't mean it's God.
Well, Amy, you know what else? You're entitled to have your opinion too. Like, you can feel exactly how you feel about it, and that's okay. Like,
for sure.
I just think it's a problem when you tell somebody how they feel is not the way to God or not the way to Him. Like, how they feel is on their path. So I think we all have God in us. So if you can embrace what you don't think is God, I guarantee you will learn more than putting yourself in a spot where you see something and think that it's not God. I think.
Also, can we go back to like what we were saying about Matt? So are you saying that if Matt is doing all these great things for his community, but he's not doing it for the glory of God, don't you think Jesus would rather see that and know that that is what he would want his people to do, as opposed to somebody who claims to be giving the glory to God, but always wanting to get the credit for everything, or not even being a good Christian in the sense of never doing anything for their community? Because people say they're Christian all the time, but I think they're assholes.
Well, sure. I mean, I think there's lots of people that say lots of things, and it doesn't matter what you're saying. I mean, you're supposed to be looking at what they're doing. However, I do think that when you're like, I mean, Jesus admonished the people that were doing things for self-interest anyway. So, I mean, if you are standing there and you're saying like, well, look what I'm doing because I'm a Christian and it's all for God's glory, but it's really for yours, that's just as awful as somebody who's doing it for their own benefit.
But you think that person's going to heaven?
I don't think that our works determine our eternity.
I think Jesus spoke to what you just said. There's the parable where Jesus asks, which one is the better one? The person that says, hey, I'm going to do such and such and doesn't do it, or the one that says they're not going to do it and eventually does it. Like, I see that as someone who says, well, I believe, but then their actions don't show anything, you know, as opposed to someone who, all right, I love y'all. I got to go.
See ya.
I want to close with this just real quick. I love what you were saying, that we're not like-minded, but I think that we're all like-hearted.
Yeah.
And that's what makes this so special. Just this group. Yeah. You know, like
That's a good distinction. I like that.
And I love the fact that we're not like-minded. I love this discussion. This is super interesting and challenging. But what I love is that we're all like-hearted, and it's what creates just this really special space. You know,
yeah. Like, Amy, tonight, you get a lot of shit, but I really love the perspective that you bring. Like, I'm really glad there's someone on here that sees things how you see them. I think it is a really good balance, especially for our listeners.
Yeah, I love your perspective too, and I can't wait for our one-on-one.
Okay, I'm nervous now, Stoy.
Oh man,
Stoy time.
I can't wait. I mean, I'm so excited. And Matt, I got a question before we go for Matt. Do you think you're going to hell?
I think I am in hell.
I'm with you on that.
And it is our job to get the fuck out. Mm. But we're not doing a very good job.
See, and I just think hell is so much worse than we can even imagine.
I think things are going to get so much more, so much more bad than we can imagine.
I was talking to my mom and I said, Mom, you know, we're looking at the Bible where it says like people are literally cloistered in caves and saying better for like just for the rocks to fall in on me. You know what I mean? Like, I look at that passage in the Bible and I just think like it's going to get bad. It's going to get really bad. And I mean, you can just see in our economy and in global warming and all kinds of things, like things are bad. And I think with mental health deteriorating and not enough resources to people and just people being offended about everything. And it's like, I'm not saying that because I believe in Jesus and I love Jesus and I think he's salvation, that means that anyone else is good, bad, or indifferent. But I do think, Liz, like what you're saying makes me so, I never want people to think that I think that it's our works that get us anywhere. That's why I don't think it matters if Matt is doing something that the world redeems as good or bad, because it's not about what we're doing. It's about Jesus. That's it. Like what he did.
No, I don't think that's necessarily think it's works either. I was just kind of posing the question of, you think that if they are, you know, if they've accepted Jesus, they are the ones that received the salvation. They are going to heaven. They will not go to hell. But thinking through the whole concept of just what would Jesus want, he wouldn't even care about, in my opinion, he wouldn't care about anything other than, how are you treating my people?
I think he definitely cares about how we treat other people. And that's, he literally laid out, I mean, love me, love others. Like, that's it. That's what matters. And I think it's really unfortunate that, I mean, I don't like being lumped in with a bunch of people that aren't loving or aren't kind or aren't, or just say things and they're nasty and they're hateful and they're mean and they don't care. And they say one thing and do another. And I mean, literally, when Christ came and he's sitting there, you know, I'm studying Matthew right now, and I'm looking at this for like the 100th time of reading through Matthew, doing one chapter per week. And I'm looking at it where he's saying, seriously, I gave you these 10 commandments, I gave you these rules, and you have taken them and perverted them and flipped them around and made them so awful that even though you are supposed to be shepherding my people, you as the leaders have made my people twice as fit for hell. And I mean, I think we have to be careful as Christians that we don't turn into that kind of leader. I don't want to be the kind of leader that someone talks to me and then it's like I've jacked up the vision of Christ so much that I've made them twice as fit for hell. You know what I mean? I want to make sure that I'm portraying to somebody like, I don't have it all figured out. I definitely think there's things I was taught as a kid that don't line up with the Bible. I think we should study the Bible and follow what it says. And I think that we should pursue a relationship with Christ above all else.
Okay, let me ask, have you changed your mind about any of your beliefs since you started reading the Bible? Or have you graduated or evolved in any kind of way since you started to now?
Yeah. So, I mean, I accepted Christ when I was a kid. I've been a Bible teacher, a serious Bible teacher since 2009. So definitely, I mean, I've had to shed a lot of dead weight of really, I hate this term, but like just stinking thinking, you know, I think that's such a Christian-y stupid term, but you know, just thinking of things that are like, you know, not right.
So everything in the Bible, you live by that, you believe that this is it. This, and mind you, that's your interpretation of it. So your interpretation of the Bible, you believe that, and that never changed since you started teaching?
No, it has changed a lot is what I'm saying. Like, lots of things have evolved and changed. I mean, if I were where I was when I was in high school even, I mean, in high school, I debated hardcore that, like, there was never a reason to have an abortion. 2 years later in college, I'm having one.
So those, do you reflect on that and say, you know what, there's something that I can learn that can change my mind right now. Like, where I'm at, I can learn something 2 years from now, just like your abortion.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so that should leave you in the mindset of, I don't know if I'm right what I'm thinking right now. And it allows more space for whatever else is going on with somebody else. Like, it, I can't condemn anybody because I can be wrong right here, right now, in this moment. I can realize that or find that out tomorrow. I can find out tomorrow that what I thought yesterday was wrong.
But I'm not condemning anybody.
No, I don't feel condemned either.
Why do y'all think I'm saying y'all attacking each other? I'm
No, but in general.
Okay, I just don't want, I don't want you to think that I am upset
Matt,
or offended by anything
left
that's been
you
said.
Long time ago. I'm talking.
Okay.
I'm talking in general, man. Just in it, like, okay. I'm speaking about me. Like, I can't say to anybody that what they're thinking right now is wrong. I can't, because I've realized that I've learned so much things since I was, as for as long back, far back as I can remember, I've learned so much up to this point that I've changed my mind a million times. I've changed what I...
It's like you learned you were wrong when you thought you were right.
Yes. Absolutely. Yeah. And so there's a saying that I say to myself, I say, I'm good when I'm right. I'm even better when I change my mind. So like, I think that's evolution type thing.
Like, actually, like that mantra.
Evolving and becoming a better version of yourself every time. So yes, I love being wrong. I love being wrong. So
Amy, you were talking about you changed your mind, but what you're talking about, you've changed your mind on some behavioral stuff. So like abortion or LGBTQ stuff. But have you ever changed your mind on the nature of God, mm-hmm. on the person of God?
Yeah. I thought like Old Testament was an angry God that was very like wrathful, and that Jesus was more like a holly jolly happy Jesus. And it wasn't until I started to really study the Old Testament that I was like, gosh, that's not his nature at all. I don't think that that's who he is at all. And I think that it's a really it's a big shame, like growing up. So I grew up Methodist until I was in fourth grade, and then Baptist from there. So great, Southern Baptist. But I think one of the worst things I ever believed was that, you know, we're taught in the Baptist faith that if you sin, then or when you sin, you haven't broken your relationship with Christ, but you've broken fellowship with Christ. And so until you have confessed and like repented, then that communication is broken. And that jacked me up for a really long time. And it wasn't until I realized like thinking that out logically means that none of us would ever be in communication with him. There would have been no meaning for the cross, and that it was done when Christ said, "It is finished," that we were forgiven at the cross, and we were forgiven at the cross so that we could have relationship continually with him. And that, you know, we have to let go of that idea that every time we sin, our fellowship with him is broken, because really he's looking at us through the mercy seat. And if you go through, you know, Old Testament and you look at like, what did the Ark of the Covenant look like? What was the mercy seat? What did they look down? What did they see? The blood, all that stuff. Then you realize like God is looking down at me through the mercy seat, seeing the blood of Christ, and I'm never broken from him. And I think that was hugely freeing.
Yeah. Yeah. That's beautiful. Well, guys, I got to run.
Yeah. My phone is at 3%, I think.
So you got 3% story. Come on.
Nine. I was holding on.
Hey, Liz, I saw your dog.
Which that your one? Dog? I have three.
There was three? A little guy in the window.
Oh, the little white one?
Yeah, yeah.
There's like a little white one.
Connection issues.
And then there's a red one, and then there's a black and white one.
Do they have names, or y'all just call them by their color? Do they have names?
Oh my god, they do, Stoy. They do. The red bone coonhound is Timber. The little white multi poo is Waffles, and the black and white Waffles. One is Cricket. And then we have a cat named Mango and a cat named Coco.
God, you got a zoo up in there. You
guys have a full house. Holy smokes!
It's a farm, but I mean, you know, it's what happens when you blend a family. You've got lots of animals.
That's right.
Yep. Or when your wife drinks too much on her honeymoon and she buys a cat it's when you're in. Yeah. Yeah.
What did Alex say?
She calls it adopting.
I said you have to pay an adoption fee.
I said she legit bought a cat. Like scrolling, bought a kitten on our honeymoon, and she says, "Liz, it's called adoption." Which
I did. I didn't buy one. You're the one that had all the money. You actually.
She adopted a cat. She adopted a cat on our honeymoon, and she showed up on our doorstep that Saturday we got back.
Anytime Alex talks tonight, I just want to say yes, ma'am.
I love you guys. I'm out.
All right.
Bye, guys.
All right. Bye. Peace. Bye.